Oh my gosh, guys, welcome back to the Truth Career Podcast, a podcast that gives you the raw and unfiltered truth about the issues we face as a people, as a society, and as a nation. This is actually the last episode on season 2 of the Truth Career Podcast. Like, this is the season finale. And of course, knowing your girl Kamsi, I couldn't just dull and, you know, let you guys go this season without giving you something hot and different that will sustain you for the 2 to 3 weeks that the Truth Career will not be on. And then we'll come back with a banging season 3. So I just had to, you know, gather these rising stars to come on this podcast and share their first time stories to inspire, motivate, and give you the push to get out there and start living your best life. Guys, you people shouldn't expect today's episode to be the usual 30 to 40 minutes I usually do. These guys are really going to give us golden nuggets that people pay on a normal day to get. So you need to listen to their story and you need to learn. You need to hear all about the first time they ever did what they do best, the challenges they faced, the things they did to improve themselves and come out victorious. So you too can apply it to your own business, career and profession. A wise person once said that the surest way to succeed at something is to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before you, and it saves you from unnecessary mistakes. So today's speakers will be giving you the blueprint to go into any career you want to go into. And you guys should get ready as they share their stories one after the other. And after that, your girl is going to top it all up with the icing on the cake, okay? So the first speaker is Anne Obize, Mark Anne.
Hello, my people of Truth Career Podcast. Yes. It's so exciting to be here. Thank you so much, Kamsi, for having me on this episode of your podcast. I really celebrate you. I see what you're doing and I'm super proud of you. All right. My name is Anne Obize, although I'm also known as Mark Anne. And in case you don't know how to spell, it is M to the A to the C to the A to the double N E. I am a corporate MC. I am a podcaster, and I am also a personal development strategist, and I have been doing this for over 3 years now. Okay, so officially I got into MCing in 2017, but before then I have been doing a lot of other talking, moderating programs in church, but I did not know it was MCing. And I didn't realize MCing was a career until 2017. And I did not even know that women or females could become MCs, because all my life growing up, I have only seen men anchor and moderate events. And then in 2017, I had my first official event when I was told, okay, Mark Anne, I need you to anchor this event. You know, the two events came back to back. So the first one was a worship concert, and the second one was a final year dinner. So I did the worship concert and it was so amazing. I did not even prepare. I just went there and then just did it. It flowed naturally. But then after that, immediately after that worship concert, some persons in final year met me in my fellowship in NIFES. And then they said, oh, our final year dinner is coming up on Friday, and we want you to anchor it. I was like, oh, okay. And guess what? I did not really prepare. I just wore my gown and I went over there and it was amazing. I had fun. That was when it dawned on me that this thing could actually become a career, and I started taking it seriously. So I began to research. Whenever I had another event to anchor, then I began to research. I went on Google. Okay, what should you do as an MC? What games should you come up? And when I was researching, I stumbled upon someone who is now my mentor in the industry, and I've also been trained by her. She goes by the name Joyce Daniels. And then I stumbled on her. I was like, whoa. So we also have women who were MCs. And before you know it, I started meeting other people, and it dawned on me that Mark Anne, you are not the only female MC. There are other ones who are doing amazing things. And that was when I made up my mind to pursue event hosting as part of my career. One of the challenges I've faced anchoring events is just that competing with the male is majorly a male-dominated industry. And sometimes when I introduce myself to people and I say, hey, my name is Mark Anne and I am an MC, and they're like, eh? MC? Do you know the beautiful thing? introducing myself as an MC has given me some opportunities to also anchor event, because I'd be like, oh, I've never seen a female anchor event before. All right, let's see what you can do. And then I end up anchoring the event. And that was just it. And then, but other times you face this challenge where the guys want to show you that, oh, you're just a newbie, so we know better than. Another challenge I've also faced is that one where people are looking at you, because people are used to seeing anyone that can talk and they just say, hey, oh, you come and moderate our event. They don't plan. They don't know that an MC is a profession and is a career where people get trained and get paid. So they just be like, nah, Shebi is just, it's not just to carry mic and talk. Give me mic, I will talk. And then when you now call your prize and they're like, are you serious? Ah, that's too much now. But they don't know that MC, the lifeblood of your event, for your event to become successful, it hinges upon who is your MC. You need someone who can be able to effectively articulate your goal, your vision, and help you, you know, entertain your guest. It's not those days where we have people, MCs, who are not trained, and then they come up and then they just say rubbish and body shame your guests, and your guests are feeling so bad. A lot of things have changed. So that was one of the challenges, when people don't know that it is a profession that they need to pay. But then we're growing, and we've grown above that. And what has made me different as an MC was because when I decided to take MCing as a career and seriously, I decided to go and get trained. So it is, MCing is not just because you can talk. There is now training and certifications for MCing. My mentor, Joyce Daniel, has an institute for training masters of ceremony known as Talk Academy. It's quite expensive, but then if you really want to up your game, you need to sign up for that school. So I got trained last year, 2019, in June, and that's what has made me different. So I am now a trained and certified MC by Talk Academy, and I also roll with a community of like-minded people who are also event compares. So in our group, maybe you'll have an event and you can just say, oh, what should I do? What kind of game should I bring up? You know, rolling with people of like mind helps you helps you continuously keep up in your game. So that's what has made me different. I am not cheap. I am not just a common MC. I am a trained and certified MC who can anchor corporate events for brands, organizations, and the rest of it. So I decided to up my game, move it from passion to a skill. And every time I am passionate about really helping other speakers find their voice, because I believe everyone has a message, everyone has a story, and the world needs to hear their voices. And I have done a couple of public speaking training. I also have a personal development consult where I train people to discover themselves, discover their voice, and monetize their message. But currently what I started doing was I have this training that is for audiovisual content creators, people who want to create podcasts and the rest of it. And I'm also writing a book documenting my knowledge, because I've been podcasting for about 2 years. So I've discovered a lot of persons don't really know how to start. So I'm putting together my knowledge, and then by God's grace, it should be launched out very soon. And you know, one of the principles that have helped me stay at the top of my game is that I am passionate about growth. See, I live by the principle of never leave tomorrow. Never let tomorrow meet you the way you were yesterday. As an MC, as an aspiring speaker, one thing you must always do is to keep growing. My final words for people who want to start up MC as a career, or those who want to speak, is that start. No one becomes a better speaker without speaking. No one becomes an MC without anchoring an event. One of the biggest, not the biggest, but one of the big breaks that announced me, that launched me as an MC, was in the year 2018, Anambra Talent Show. How did I get that show? I saw the billboard in Awka. I just came into Awka because I just graduated and I came back from a convocation. So I saw the billboard and I saw it, Anambra Talent Show. I said, I want to anchor this event. Now, a lot of persons don't know this aspect of the story. I picked up the number on that billboard. I was sitting in a bus and I was able to pick up the number from that billboard, and I called and I said, my name is Mac Ann. I am an MC. I want to anchor your event. And guess what? Through the whole process, I became part of the team. anchoring Anambra Talent Show opened me up to a lot of things. So that was like the big major break for me. And that was because I saw what I wanted. I picked up my phone and called. There are times where people will not reach out to you to anchor their events. There are times where people will not reach out to you and say, I need your services. But if that is what you want, I want you to pick up your phone and call. So if you want to grow as an MC, please, I would encourage you to start, volunteer, and then gather pictures. As you're volunteering, be snapping pictures, get videos, because as an MC, these are the things that would show that you are really, really good. And start with your family, start with friends, start with church, start with your organization, and then you would grow to the global scene. Thank you so much, guys. This is my story, and I really want to encourage you to go out there and start. There are so many potentials, there are so many visions that God has placed in your heart. It is not for you. I don't want you to die with your potentials. Go out there, start. Even if you get no, don't take no for an answer. Just keep showing up and blessing the world with your gift.
My name is Emeka Samuel, a medical doctor married to a nurse. They say when doctor marries a nurse, they were born patient. It's a lie. Don't allow them to deceive you. We have a beautiful daughter by God's grace. I developed a passion to study medicine because I wanted to serve humanity. I wanted to take care of the sick, to take care of the vulnerable, the helpless. And of course, because of the prestige and the respect attached to the profession as well. In my 7 years of practice so far, I have had many experiences, lovely ones, sad ones, traumatic ones as well. But the profession is a beautiful one. Without wasting time, I would just like to share a story, a life encounter actually, something I experienced when I was doing my youth service. I served in 2015 in one of the rural communities in the northwest of Nigeria. And as a young doctor then, and the life of a rural doctor also, it was a little challenging. Rural community, most times no light, most times the workload is too much, the language barrier is also there. So it was quite frustrating indeed. One fateful day, we were just in the clinic, as usual. You hang your stethoscope, you feel free, you see a patient, and I was still trying to come in terms with Hausa language then, just learning in Akwana, that is good morning, everybody shouting, Likita, Likita, doctor, So that was it. And the woman was rushed in as an emergency, a pregnant woman that was bleeding profusely. And she has lost so much blood, she was already very weak. So after quick assessment, it was evident that she needed urgent blood transfusion and urgent surgery, as emergency surgery as well. And the head doctor who usually do the surgeries was not around. And the closest referral center where we could send her to go and have the emergency surgery is quite very far, minimum 2-3 hours. So I commenced blood transfusion for her, but she was still losing the blood as soon as it enters her body. She was getting weaker and her condition was getting worse. At this point, it was very obvious that what she really needed was surgery in order to save her life at that point. Well, it was a tough call for me, and everybody was already looking up to you now as the doctor there to do the magic, to save her. The relations are running around you, the nurses, everybody. So, and I have not done surgery before. I was just a few months into my youth service, but I have been opportune to watch the head doctor do so many procedures. I also assisted in some instances and participated with him. So I was just going through the whole picture in my head, remembering how we used to start with this one, do this one, then from this one to this, how to control the bleeding. But with all that, I was still very tensed up. I was anxious, I was sweating. I called the head doctor. In fact, he told me for him to get there, it would take up to 3 hours before he would come back. Oh my God. I mean, it was a very critical moment and frightening situation. And this woman was still going down more and more. There was no other option left than to do the surgery immediately, because even if we are to refer her, she might not be alive to get to the hospital. So I summoned courage and then I proceeded with the operation. And thank God, fortune smiled at us with all I was able to apply. And it didn't take long. Both the passenger and the carrier They both arrived safely, and everywhere was filled with joy. The relations everywhere, the nurses, everybody, in fact, the entire hospital, were just very happy. In fact, deep down within me, my joy knew no bounds that day. There was no boundary to my joy. I was so elated. And then, in fact, it was a priceless moment for me, the way I went about it and all. So it was a turning point for me. It was an inspiring period for me. So that incident really inspired me. So I became more committed. I became more passionate. I learned more surgeries. I did more surgeries even before I completed my service year. So I just want to point out some things. As a doctor, I couldn't have done the surgery if I misused the opportunity I had to learn. Because when I came newly, I always go into the theater with the head doctor anytime he's doing any procedure, which was optional for me. If I care to join, fine. If I don't care, fine. But I always join him each time he's going for any procedure. Even if it is late in the night, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I used to join him. So, and I couldn't also have saved a life if I wasn't committed to improvement. So I was committed to improvement. That was why the opportunity presented and I was able to save a life. So opportunity lost could mean a life lost. So if we can take note of that, it's very important. So some events could be an eye-opener and a turning point for a cascade of positive events, just like the one I had. So please don't misuse your opportunities. Will always present itself, but your preparedness is what matters most. Now I want to ask, how prepared are you?
Hi guys, my name is Praise Akobo. I'm a content creator, a social entrepreneur, a public speaker, and an EQ trainer. EQ means emotional quotient, which can also be seen as emotional intelligence. Well, I can actually say that I started this journey about 5 years ago, but I became much more professional 2 years from today. Well, that's 2 years ago. So how did I get into this field I'm currently in? Well, I actually got into this field unplanned. Like, I wasn't one who you would think would actually be able to face a crowd. You know, when you say someone is super shy, I began to actually put up stuff on my social media account, Facebook to be precise, that particular year. And that was how I began to gradually get recommendations. But seriously, it was not that easy. Because the first experience I had was something that was just very enough for me to stop doing this. So you can imagine what happened to me in the first experience. I was actually called up to address a large crowd. Yes, that was my first public speaking experience. And it actually happened in the year 2013, around September. It was, that should be my SS3. And I just came out and I could recall fidgeting. You know, when you say someone's temperature was literally high, that was my experience. I was anxious. I was talking so fast, like, you know, when you're trying to chase bees, that's how I was really talking. And for someone who really knew me, you could see that the mic was shaking. I decided that after that day, I would still have to move. But funny enough, there was one particular time I got hooked even while talking. You know, I was trying to say something after learning, because I did little preparations. I didn't understand what it's meant to really prepare for a public speaking engagement at that point. Well, so I got hooked kind of. I could not explain, and someone had a question for me. I had to tell the person that, okay, we'll get to this question later. And that was because I didn't prepare well. I couldn't also answer the question very well. So I just had to use that to just cover up for my fall of hands. But then that was growth for me. So even with the move, I felt to continue. There was just this part of me telling me, you're not good enough. People would laugh at you. Your voice, I actually felt like I didn't have a good voice for public speaking. You know, so many thoughts kept on running through my mind. I had to check online. I saw how people spoke amazingly and what I did was nothing close to, in fact, it was at a zero level. It was close to what a good public speaker should actually do while on stage or while talking to people. So that was it. And I talked to my dad. I recall my dad telling me that you would get better. I explained some things to him, but that still wasn't enough. I just felt that, okay, this wasn't my call. Let's just stick to writing. But then, this word struck me one day. It said, every expert you see today was actually a novice at one point in time. So I began to motivate myself internally. There was this push from within. So I began to do some studies online. I began to check out what a good public speaker should do to get better. So compared to the first time I spoke publicly and now, the difference is so clear, 7 up. Like, I don't need any prophet to tell me that I have grown from where I used to be. So that's why at every point in time, we shouldn't name that man and stick to that person we were. Keep seeing yourself, keep imagining yourself becoming better, and really with consistency you'll become better. So for now, I can see that I know how to engage my audience. I know how to apply something called the threefold aspect of public speaking, which is the opening, the body, and the closure. I know how to apply the hook when it is necessary, using a story to hook them, and every aspect of public speaking. I've gotten to a point where I understand the necessities and what to eliminate. But this didn't just happen like that. I had to accept responsibilities even while I thought I was not good enough. I told myself I was good enough. So the small responsibilities I was given, I was utilizing it to practice even with a live audience, not just probably seeing yourself, checking yourself out in the mirror and talking and seeing if your words actually match or if there is a flow. Beyond that, there was more for me. Okay, for me, the principles that actually helped me in my field today is to be excellent, the spirit of excellence first, then being excellent. So this actually entails that the same way I would prepare for a fewer audience, let's say about 50, it's the same way I'll actually prepare for 1,000 audience. So the truth is, your preparedness meets opportunity and bets success. I could recall one particular time I had a preparation for a smaller audience, and that was what the host told me. And amazingly, when we got there, it was actually more than what we imagined. So you can imagine, if I had not prepared on both aspects, what would have happened? If I am meeting someone, if I'm meeting them on an individual note or publicly, that's on a general basis, I ensure that I am pouring everything. I don't want to sideline any knowledge. I just want them to get filled. I want them to get out of that particular distress or whatsoever is up with them. So I just ensure that that aspect is continually checked for me. My words of encouragement is that you should actually check your belief per time, because your belief thrives to the extent to which you believe in yourself. So that particular field you are in this context is your belief. So if you actually believe yourself, you would spur people and stir people to believe in you. So you cannot see yourself lesser than who you are. You are amazing. You are a voice. You are a gem. And people would reach out to you. Your voice will get to the very ends of the earth just by doing what you know how to do. Just don't keep stopping. Just keep on and you will get there.
Hi, good day everyone, and thanks for having me on the Truth Korea podcast. Yeah, my name is Adit's Rare Blessing. I am a commercial pilot license holder, though still a student pilot, and I'm also a YouTuber. I talk about my experiences like on YouTube, so you could check me out there. And today I'm going to be telling you how I basically started. I'll talk about the flying aspect, then I'll talk about the YouTube aspect of the whole thing. Okay, the first thing is that deciding to become a pilot for me has always been a dream. Like, I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to venture into this kind of stuff, and it was a bit challenging because flying is quite expensive. But I thought about it. I knew I can do it, and with with some help from my parents and also from my state, that's as for getting scholarships, I was able to venture into this. And I'm going to sincerely tell you that the first time I flew, it was in fact, I'm going to tell you the truth, I threw up as far as I vomited, because it wasn't easy that day. I was thinking, okay, that first day is going to be like so nice, enjoyable and everything. But after that time, anyways, it has been so awesome, it has been nice. But that first experience wasn't easy at all. It wasn't easy at all, guys. So even if something is your passion, most of the time, it gets to a period that, as in, it's when you get to doing it, it seems as if, come on, am I good at this thing? In fact, you might likely give up if you don't continue, because not only after the first time I flew, like two consecutive times after that time, I was still having this nauseatic feeling like I wanted to throw up. I was still having those things, but after a while it's all died down. So whatever you start, it might be your passion and you're thinking that, okay, because you faced a little challenge on the way, don't give up, because the first times are always like that. And if I'm supposed to talk about the issue of the starting of the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel's name is Princess Anu TV, and starting it up initially, I've always loved to vlog, use the camera, like make videos, so it was easy kind of for me. But when I got to watch other people's videos and I see that, wow, they take this thing seriously, and I have to be more coordinated, more focused on doing this thing, I started to give it better shots. So instead of just making videos casually, I don't laugh and I don't do all those funny stuff, you know, just like you can hear me, like I was doing them, but now I had to make my setup more nice. I had to, like, you know, begin to program myself. The first videos, in fact, sometimes I have to shoot videos like 3-4 sometimes 7 times before getting the accurate shots that I need to put out there. But now it has become much easier for me. I just sit and I film, though I still sometimes have to film like 2-3 times. So sincerely, it's not, I think it's gonna be so rosy, but once you keep doing it, get to experience. So for the flying part, for me as an aviator, as a pilot, and also being a YouTuber, because now I actually vlog about my flying experiences, so combining the two together is much fun for me. Seriously, that's what I can tell you about that. And a word of advice I want to leave for you, generally in this The Truth Korea podcast. I love the name, The Truth Korea podcast, because it's like saying your truth. See, whatever you're starting is not going to be easy at that start time, because everything is, in fact, there's a video I watched on, still on YouTube, and they say make 100 crappy videos. Like, I'm just using that for example. Make 100 crappy videos. Like, keep doing it. One day you will get better. Just like the way the anchor of this show, she keeps doing it. She gets better every day. I really admire her. I admire her push. Like, seriously, in fact, I need to give her a resounding clap. Seriously, she's doing awesome in this thing. And so it's just a word out there for you that anything you're starting, especially for the first time, it's not going to be easy. My flying, like I said, I threw up. Somebody said, wow, throwing up, are you kidding me? Flying is not for you. But no, it's for you, because you've always loved it, because you always want to do it. And if you want to know more about flying, if you want to know more about, like, anything you want to do as per aviation, you can hit me up. Don't worry, I'll be there for you. And okay, she says leave some words of encouragement and some words of wisdom. Seriously, this is all I have for you. And in all, lastly, I'm going to say, don't forget to always put God. Sometimes if I film a video, I'm like, Father, please let this video just come out great. Please, Lord. Because you can't imagine, like, filming a video like 2-3 times. Or let's even talk about the flying. Before I go for flight, and when I'm doing my pre-flight and all that, that's trying to check up all the things that are needed. I don't want to take you through so much aviation grammar and all that. But going through pre-flight, and I just have to think about it. And I'm like, Father, going up is your grace. Yes, you've done all your parts, but I've heard of people that everything was perfect and they took off and they never came down. So in it all, don't forget to put God in all you.
Hello, my name is Alex Daniel Excellency Chimaroke, and amongst a lot of things, I am a transformative leadership and sustainable development goals advocate. And today I am super excited to share my first experience story in the area of leadership and advocacy. In 2018, I contested for my first political position, and it was the position of the Director of Projects and Technology for my faculty's association, which is the Nigerian Universities Engineering Students Association, MOAU, that's the name of my school. And it was an amazing experience, right from the time of the campaigns to the electioneering process, to the inauguration, to when I started, you know, functioning in the office properly. During a period of campaigns, it was a beautiful experience, you know, getting to meet new people, getting to connect with people, share the message of change with people. It was an amazing experience, you know. It helped me improve public speaking skills. You know, you have to talk to people one-on-one, get to engage with students. You know, you have to look for a way, methodologies to reach out to students. One of the challenges I faced actually was, that was my first time, and it was my 300 level. And normally people who are interested in school politics really start, you know, way earlier, maybe in the 100 level, so they get, you know, accustomed to the political culture in the school. But I started my 300 level, but I was able to pick up because I had amazing support from my friends, amazing support from, you know, from my department, amazing support from my family too. Yes, I had support from them, you know, talking to people, trying to get people to support you. You know, it's not easy to convince people, you know, in a situation, the political culture in the country, before people support you for politics, they usually want to have immediate gratification. They're just after what they can get at that moment. You know, most of them believe that when you get to the position, you're going to forget them and abandon them and then, you know, go on with your life. But you had to convince them otherwise. And during the electionary process, it was, you know, it was quite intensive, but financially too, it's finance intensive. But I enjoyed a lot of support from my friends, but financial support. But the highlight of the electionary process for me was the manifesto reading, where I got to read my manifesto. I had identified, you know, three things that I wanted to do, three key point agenda that I wanted to handle if I emerged as the winner, and then, you know, begin office properly. The three things were: one, professional enlightenment; two, was academics; and three, was infrastructure. These were the three major areas that affected, you know, students in my faculty project. I remembered when I came on the podium to read, you know, I met cold silence. There was, everywhere was just cold and silent. And when I started, you know, talking, people started saying sense when I was in. I got a very big ovation that day. If I could remember vividly, it was a wonderful experience. You know, I had an advantage. My department was actually the biggest department in the faculty, so I had advantage of numbers. And we were three people who contested for the position, though one of them later dropped. We were just two who went to the booth. And it was beautiful that day of the manifesto reading. I, you know, even people wanted to lift me up, carry me and all of that. It was amazing, just like, you know, the conventional secular political campaign. It was an amazing experience for me. And sometimes you could spend in trying to sow that help, and to a point I got broke. When I went home and I had nothing to eat because I'd spend a lot of money trying to help people out. And sometimes I even had to drink Gary and stuff like that. But, you know, it was an amazing experience. It really showed me, you know, the essence of being a servant leader, not just, you know, being a boss. You had to step down from the high horse and serve people. It was beautiful. And then to the election day proper, you know, I had massive support that day. I actually won the election with a landslide. I think I had over 65% of the votes, or more than 65% of the votes, to actually, you know, accentuate. One of the biggest challenge we faced was the issue of corruption. You know, when you have public officials who want to, you know, use public funds for personal aggrandizement, it's actually a very big problem. And it's not just a national problem, it's almost everywhere. And it's a problem we kept facing, and where you have, you know, people, even academic staffers too, they wanted to, you know, look for a way to vandalize public funds. It was something we had to fight at every point, every time. We had to just fight it. So at the end of our service, I was awarded the Ace of Innovation and Excellence. It was powerful and amazing. And, you know, remembering all those moments is quite a beautiful thing. And in the future, as for future experiences, I have aspirations to, you know, take up more space in the political sphere in the near future. And I imagine myself, someone, my biggest dream actually is to be the president of Nigeria. And I believe, you know, all things, you know, working together for my good, I think I will find myself in that position. I'm actually working towards that. And I think that I learned, that kept me going, is I always preach transformative leadership through strategic development, which means as a political leader, one, you must have a plan. If you want to make something happen, you want to transform, you must have a plan. That is strategy. You must always have a plan. Always have a plan. And I think that's the biggest problem we have, and even at the national level of government, there is no plan. You know, it looks as if the leader doesn't have any plan, and it's, you know, actually setting the society backwards. So one big advice I'm going to give anybody who is interested in running for public office is that they must always be persons of integrity, accountability, and transparency. You must always be a man of your word. So that is all, and I'm super glad to share this with you, and I hope I've been able to, you know, inspire somebody who wants to run for public office. And thank you very much for listening.
My name is Ezinne Ibe, a fashion designer and a fashion stylist. I am the head creative of Ibe Tribal, an Afrocentric brand that creates unique and timeless and versatile pieces for people of different ages, sizes, and race. We tend to exhibit and explore the craftsmanship of the African artisan through the creation of our fashion items that range from clothing to accessories. Starting out in fashion was not very easy for me. I'm a self-taught fashion designer, which means I learned my work on the job. I believe the learning process is an everyday process, so I learned every day. I did not have any professional training. I started out this whole thing spontaneously with basically my clothes. But the first dress I made for somebody, I made it for a friend. I was very anxious. I was not comfortable. I didn't know if it was going to fit. I didn't know if it was going to fit in the right places. But at the end of the day, she tested it and it was great. It looked amazing on her. And then she encouraged me to make this thing a business. She encouraged me to turn it into a business. So I started out as a partnership with a friend to create a brand, which I later left to start Ibe Tribal. I started Ibe Tribal officially in 2018, so my business is 2 years old. I started Kanu, but before I started, I was using this Obioma machine that had a hand pedal. It was discomforting but exciting at the same time, because there was a whole lot of history with the machine. The machine survived the Biafra War. Yes, it survived the Civil War. It's safe to say the machine is older than my mother. It's a very old machine, but a very loyal machine. It's been more loyal than a whole lot of people. But it kind of gave me an encouragement that for you to create beautiful pieces using something that would normally be disregarded by a whole lot of people. Something, and I was not ashamed using that machine. I had a whole lot of people tell me, I see the machine you're using. They will laugh and say, ha, now what for you? You know better, man, you know they do anything that they use this kind of machine. But I didn't feel bad, I didn't feel threatened. I knew that I needed to do something. I wanted to start something with myself, I wanted to start something with my hands. So using that machine was nothing for me. But when I went to service, which was when I started Ibe Tribal, I decided I was going to buy a machine because it was going to make my work faster and easier. I bought a secondhand sewing machine using all my alawi. When I mean all my alawi, at that point, it was like, if I perish, I perish. But at the end of the day, I did not perish because God came through for me. He saw that I had passion. He saw that I was willing to work hard for what I wanted. And He brought people my way, people that were able to raise my business to another level. And it was so amazing. It has not been a perfect experience all this while. There's been times when there were turbulences. There have been times when the road was smooth. Sometimes it's rosy, sometimes it's not so rosy. But at the end of the day, those bad experiences you get, they help to shape your story. They help to shape how you're going to react to you know, challenges when you meet them. There have been a whole lot of challenges, monetary challenges, clientele challenges. You know, there are clients you meet and they're like, oh, good. You really want to snap at them, but at the end of the day, you have to learn to, you know, interact well with your clients. You have to make them feel like they're talking to a human being. You have to make them feel comfortable, because in truth, a lot of people are going through a whole lot, and it's beautiful if your clients are comfortable shopping with you, because they always get to have a personal experience. And before I started, I always had this anxiety. Am I even in the right line of business? Do I even know what I'm doing now? Am I just wasting my time? Am I being stupid? It's not better to just go and settle for a paid job? God, how can a graduate of biomedical technology be a matching machine? How can I be suing? But at the end of the day, this is something that comfortably pays my bills, and it's beautiful. Creating something is a beautiful experience. My principles that I work with, there are a lot of principles, but the ones that stand out for me is basically integrity. It's integrity in the business cannot be overemphasized. Integrity is that thing that will make people stick with you. It's that thing that will ensure your customers' loyalty. They always point at you and say, this person, I can vouch for this person. I know this person is reliable. So I always try to build my business on the page of integrity, knowing that what I deliver is what I say I will deliver, and I am delivering the quality at the best amounts, as well as being reliable, as well as having a great customer experience. These are principles I don't compromise with, and I would love to encourage everyone out there, especially people who would want to venture into business like mine, or people who are already into my kind of business. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a very competitive field. The fashion industry is very competitive, but you always have to look out one thing that will make you stand out, and it could either be your designs, it could be either be your prices, it could either be your packaging, it could be either be your customer interaction, it could be a whole lot of things. It could be your timing. When others are delivering in 10,000 years, you're delivering in two minutes, you know. There are going to be a lot of rainy days that will come, and there will be nothing for you to, you know, nothing to encourage you. It is that passion, it's the inbuilt passion that is going to encourage you. You need to be resilient, you need to learn how to make sacrifices, you need to be calculative, you need to be smart, because if you're not smart and calculative in your decisions, you might make wrong decisions and you may not be able to stomach it, or it will be so bad that you may not be able to move on from it. But at the end of the day, whatever happens, whatever challenges you face, always encourage.
Look how he turned my life around, make me a shining star, his glory to reveal, and I will worship him forever and love him forever, because this God is too good. Oh. Hi guys, my name is Promise Daniels and I am a gospel music artist. I'm from Imo State, Olo precisely. Yeah, well, before I joined the gospel music industry, I never knew it could be what I would be doing by now, because I used to be a lover of fun, partying, clubbing, and every good thing of life. Yes, that was me then. But on the contrary, you know, once a man has a specific call on earth, no matter how you try to run out of it, it would keep chasing you until you come and dwell. When I mean dwelling, I mean dwelling, you understand? So, I would say thank you to Pastor Nemi Iselema. Pastor Nemi Iselema is a pastor in Living Word Ministry, Abba. Yes, and Living Word Ministry is my family church. That was where I started from. And I joined the Angels Choir. Before then, I had a basic of music during my secondary school days. Yes, my school father then tried his whole best to pull me through, because he had me on a certain day like that. I was doing blues, my normal blues, R&B. I used to be a very good R&B singer. And I followed the likes of Usher Raymond, Joe, Craig David, and all you could think of. Yeah, so I was doing one of their songs then, and he saw me and he said, "Promise, you're doing R&B and I'm having this kind of goosebumps. What if you're doing a gospel music? That means heaven would be pleased." I looked at him and like, what's this guy saying? Is he right at all? You want to convert me to a pastor or something? And you know, back then in school, they call the churchy kind of people escorts. And me, I don't want to join that escorts because I wouldn't be free to explore, you know, have my girlfriends around, you know, do stuff, you know, and all of that. Yeah. So I don't want to start believing a life of pretense that looking churchy and all of that. And I wouldn't believe in my real life. So I objected, like I disagreed. I said, "No, you can't put me in that line." And he forced me into it because he was my senior, and you know that you have to give your senior that respect, except you want him to deal with you. So I found myself into the a cappella group Ambassadors of Heaven in Command Secondary School at Abakaliki. And he made me a chief soloist, and I started doing it. I started loving it. I'm like, whoa, man, this is really cool, you know. And with the fame and everything in school, then it was wow, yeah. So after I left school, I had to slide again, start living my normal Raz life and all of that. Until Pastor Nemi called me and told me, "Promise, why is it that you come into the choir?" And the next few minutes, we end singing in choir. "What's up with you?" I'd be like, "Pastor Nemi, that's the way they try and make me do. No be where my line deal. No reason I beg. I did do the choir stuff. Yeah, see, I just want roll. Make you just be like, say yes. I know they waste the voice. You understand? I did try train. No mean say I will come the carry microphone for church, come the minister. Muna free me for that matter." You understand? So he looked at me, he laughed. And he told me, "Promise, that I should not miss choir rehearsals again." And you know, that's that moment when your superior has to talk to you, you just have to give him that respect. Yeah, even though you're trying to be stubborn and everything, I just had to mellow down. Not because I wanted to give him that respect though, but because I love him so much. And you know, that moment when someone you love so much has to speak with you and you listen to him, so I had to roll in and I started. And from there, my first appearance on stage was a huge flop. You know, when you get to prepare yourself, like I prepared myself for that program, Zozo 2013. It's an unforgettable day for me. I prepared myself, that ginger-ic moment, you know, that your pastor tells you, "Zozo, you should know it's international standard and people from far and wide are coming. So you have to put yourself, all the ministers, everyone ministering on that day, you have to, you know." So me, myself, on normal level now, I'd be like, "Man, Kai, I go scatter everywhere. I think saying about scattering. I don't know saying about oil with your head. No, be by good voice." So. You understand? So I went and I think I fasted. Yeah, I did. I did fasting. Like, I fasted, I prayed. And after that, I was given the platform to minister. Lo and behold, come here off, like off key. It was raw. And you know, when you're alone on stage, without backups, yes, you understand, just instrumentalists, nobody will cover you up. If you're a music artist, you should know what I'm talking about. When you're holding a microphone on stage alone, you're trying to do a solo song, just you, and you're trying to showcase how good you are, running the riffs and runs, you understand? And lo and behold, you go off. Everybody would actually hear that, and it would get into you. When you come downstage, you'd be like, "Am I really the one that did this?" That professionalism and everything. So it really weighed me down that day. I wasn't myself. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even eat. I was just there. So I got encouraged by him. He told me, "This is your starting point. Sometimes you make mistakes to align, you understand?" So after that, he told me I should stress myself more, go into rehearsals. I started rehearsing. I rehearsed, stressed myself more, and went outside my comfort zone. And today, I can comfortably stand in any stage at all to minister, regardless of the maximum capacity, are you getting me, of people who come for the program. So no matter what it is, man, I think I've outgrown stage fright. You know, I've outgrown so many certain mistakes and all of that. Not because of I'm so perfect, but because I indulged in training. I rehearsed so much, went out of my comfort zone, my normal rehearsals. And apart from that, I drew so much close to God. I had to let him talk to me, like we communicate more like father and son. So apart from that, right now the projects I have at hand, I'm dropping a new single, Emmanuel. It's gonna be wow. Okay, so anticipate for Emmanuel. Emmanuel is coming your way very, very soon. So apart from that challenge, I think the other challenge I do have most times is challenge of female folks. Yes, I need to bring that in, you know. If you are into the gospel music, into the gospel ministry, what you need to do is this. You don't take advantage of people who come around you, who tell you, "Oh, you have a nice voice, thank you," stuff like that. Can you actually pull me through? I want you to be my mentor. I want you to be my brother. Listen, can I talk? If you actually decide to start taking advantage of all of that, trust me, you wouldn't go far in this field, okay? You are abusing grace. So if you're aspiring to be a music, a gospel music artist, I will tell you one thing you need to learn first is self-control. Yes, it's very, 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 very important. Self-control is very important. If you have self-control, you see you have, you would actually go far.
I am Charles Chajo, an OAP, that is on-air personality. I always get this question, hey, what does an OAP or on-air personality mean? Actually, it simply means a radio or TV presenter. Yes, I work with Anambra Broadcasting Service here in Awka. Yeah, being an OAP has been something I actually wanted, because I just enjoyed being on the screen. Yes, I had to go through anchoring events and shows, programs while I was in school, university, and from there I also delved into acting. You know, I've always been a screen friendly person. So after my youth service, I had to come down to Anambra State, and that was when the new ABS TV was erected and I had to join them. But when I joined on the first time, talking about TV, because I had to come through TV, wow. It wasn't so smooth, because I realized that it is quite different when you're anchoring a show, you know, on live stage, or maybe when you're acting, because TV demands some sense of decency. Yes, by that I mean you have to be very focused, and any little mistake would count, okay? Of course, what I was doing then was a recorded program, so I could always cut and join, like Saturday Act. But even at that, I found myself being so, should I say, I wasn't feeling it, because I was just talking to a camera. I was just talking to a camera, like, who the hell am I talking to? But the whole world could see me as soon as the whole thing gets uploaded. But I was just watching the camera, and I was trying to know this camera would then be, because I'm trying to know the kind of audience I would have. Assuming it was a live show, okay, I can already see the audience and know. I mean live show, I mean like a live stage performance. I could always see the audience and know how how I can, you know, approach them. But on TV is for everyone, so you just really can't tell exactly how to, you know, position yourself and everything. So I find myself fidgeting on the first, second, and maybe third, fourth recordings. I find myself being too rigid. So, but one thing I do then was, once I record, I ask my colleagues then, hey, look at this, what should I do to improve myself? And then most importantly, I go home and watch the program, and from there, I think that was the best way I improved myself. As much as your colleagues will tell you what they want you to do, sometimes, you know, they go try hide mouth, maybe not come, they talk, say that they try attack you or something. So when I get home, I watch it and I see some places that I should improve on myself, and I work on those places, and I find myself being better and better as the episodes come by. All right, so I believe that I will urge you out there to, in anything you're doing, just know that, of course, experience counts a whole lot. Experience counts a whole lot. Right now, I not only do a recorded program, but I also do a live program. So you see now I can go on screen and talk and talk. And of course, I'm used to the game and nothing can make me fidget anymore. Okay. So even right now, I'm on radio. I talk on radio even without rehearsing. I just know the program, I enter and I do it. Yes, of course, it is me being experienced in the whole thing. Oh, in case you're thinking I'm so experienced, I've just spent only 3 years in the game, okay? Only 3 years. But why I was able to fit in so quickly was because of my previous doings. Make I use the word doings. Of anchoring programs, you know, anchoring shows. And I was just exposed, like, ahead of time. So even acting as well, all these things will help kill the fear that is in you. You who is aspiring, or who are aspiring to be a TV or radio presenter and OAP, just know that it's no big deal. Okay, go to walk into any radio station. You can go there and start as an intern. Okay, and from there, they would absorb you gradually into the whole system. All right, just try and watch other programs on TV, how they're being anchored and everything, and of course kill that fear in you and do whatever you want to do. Set out to achieve whatever you want to achieve, and of course definitely you're going to achieve that. And of course I have known that in whatever craft or art you're going into, just give yourself time doing that same thing. You will find yourself being better by every time you do it. Okay, one basic challenge I didn't remember to mention is that as an OAP, you have to give your listener what he or she wants, okay? Because you may not be in a very good mood, but there is always this particular mood you always have once you're on air, and you have to use that same mood, okay? Now, assuming your program is a very informal program that you have to always appear very simple, very all smiling and everything, very jovial, and then you go in there knowing full well that you're not in a very good mood, maybe someone, person just make you vex as you went to that studio, you have to keep that mood aside, eh? And put to your listener or your viewer what exactly the mood is that you have always been showing them. You can't let people's mood or whatever they say affect you before you go on air. So it's really very difficult trying to put your mood aside and wear that same mood that you've always been on, because you have to do that. You have to give your listener. You can't tell a listener or a viewer who has come to watch one thing that a person make me vex, so you know, expect say make ideas jovial or as smiling as I did before. It doesn't make sense. Okay, so that is one of the major challenges of this profession. So sometimes we could be seen as pretenders, though we don't do the worst. All right, so just go out there and be you. All right, go out there believing in whatever you want to do, and you would see yourself doing that better by the day.
Hey, what's up my people? My name is Sylvan Kwocha, aka That Very Guy. I'm an actor, I'm a musician, I'm also a model by profession. I've been acting for a long time. Well, I always try to tell people that acting to me is more of a calling than a career, you know what I mean? Acting is more of a career to me. I say acting, in fact, acting found me, right? Acting found me. I've been acting since GSS3. Yeah, you know when you have all those inter-school activities, yeah, drama club, press club and everything. So I found myself in drama club, you know. So when I really knew acting was my thing, yeah, it was when I went for a particular inter-school competition, right? Where you have drama, we have debates and everything. So I did one. I played a role of a king, yeah. I play the role of a king, so we used to speak one particular language. A king, a god, a wise, a this one, a this one. So I play the role of a king. And to my surprise, after we finished the whole competition, I won my school one overall. But there's something that struck my attention that I just knew that something is calling me somewhere. Immediately I finished, the whole students from other schools started calling me a king. I said, did I really play this role so well? You know, did I really do well in this thing? My school had a football field. Yeah, my school had a football field while I was in secondary school, and I was quite tall too. You know, so they had some guys, Mr. Ibu, Dede Wonde, and all of those guys. They came to act a film in my school. Yeah, so they needed to. They came to use the field. I just closed from school that day, from secondary school that day, and they saw me and they said, "Ah, you tall boy, you know, come and join our football team and come and complete our team." Yeah, so. Apparently they had Mr. Ibu team, Mr. Ibu Dede Wonde, Charles Awuom, and all of those guys. They were Arsenal team, and they were playing against another team. I don't know the name of the team at that time. So fortunately for me, one of my uncles just got me an Arsenal jersey. So they said we should go home, run home, go and bring. If you have any jersey, go on to one team, we should go and bring it. And so I run go out, so I go carry my jersey. Hey, I say, oh, today I want to play ball with all these people. Ah, that's what. And I said, you brought Arsenal jersey, so you are joining this Mr. Ibu team and everybody. That's how I joined Mr. Ibu team. You know, I joined the Mr. Ibu team. I was their goalkeeper, the upcorners goalkeeper. I said, I do think I said, okay, more the good. I said, no, please, oh, Chisom, come back, Silver, come back, oh, please. This your scene hasn't finished. We have another scene in church, one other church scene. But since you are with the team, you have to be a part of it. That was how I joined, and I went there to do another scene. From there, another scene, okay. This thing is actually for me. That's my first acting experience. Guess what? After I shot that Upgunners, yeah, when the film came out, I was in the poster. I said, hey, I bought the CD. I was in the poster. I said, I bought the CD. I said, oh, wow, this is interesting. I started showing all my classmates and everything, you know. I said, I'm in the poster of this film. Oh, film you. So that was it. So that's how I fell in love with the career, you know. Then my first major role was I acted as not even major role, my first, like, let's say I acted, like, camera faced me very well. I acted as a palace guard, you know, back in Asaba. That was Tears of Agony. This was in 2012, right? 2012. I acted as a palace guard, you know, in Asaba. Messi Johnson was in that film, I can't forget. That was my first major, you know, role. I had to travel to Anambra State, you know, because I loved acting. So I wanted to be a part of the acting thing. I loved acting, you know. So I went to Asaba. I was popping at that time. I went to go to Unilagbo. I said, mom, let me go to Asaba. That's where I got my first opportunity to feature as on the set. It's been always so. From there, that's where I've been pushing. You know, pushing is not really easy. So many competition, you know, so many competition. My first time of acting, I was scared. My heart was skipping. But at the long run, I started getting better because they said, see, look at me now. I featured in Coming from Insanity. I featured in series. But look at how I started. I started as a palace guard. You know, so my first time was really challenging for me. I was scared and everything, but continuously I started going for auditions, I started going for casting calls, I started going for acting master classes, you know, online. Royal Man, that's my acting master class teacher. You know, I started going for it and everything. My confidence level started to increase. You know, so I tell people, it always gets better at time. If you know what you want, meet people who are doing the same thing as you're doing. You know, they would always put you through. It's just about consistency. If you are consistent enough, trust me, you soar high. So make your net worth. Meet people, go for master classes, read stuff. I accept my acting. I'll say for aspiring actors, yeah, these are the things I've lived by. I didn't go to any acting school. Yeah, acting school is good, yeah, but I studied on my own. I'm a graduate of University of Google. Yeah, I started googling how do I become a better actor, you know, how do I be better at my craft? I started reading online, I started surfing online, you know, to get better at what I'm doing. I started reading, going for master classes, you know. So the key thing about acting, yeah, about any career you're pursuing and striving to be, is about consistency. If you are consistent, if you are focused and prayer focused, the grace of God too is very important. You know, you will sail through. So be consistent, pray for grace, you know, make your network your network. Read online, study things, because you have to be, you can't just be an actor, you have to be a professional actor, you have to be good for you to stand out.
Wow, I don't know about you guys, but I'm so inspired, and I've been blessed by those amazing stories. I've learned so much, and I just want to go out there and keep pushing. I really enjoyed their stories, their laughs, their challenges, and their victories. Well, like I told you guys earlier, I'm going to be topping it up with my own first time story. Do I still need to introduce myself? Because you guys already know who I be. Okay, for the sake of our first time listeners, I'm Kamsi Badi. I'm the host of this amazing podcast. I'm a writer, an actor, and an aspiring director. I want to be like my mama on money. Anyway, anyone who has known me for long knows that I've always been a fan of entertainment. Like, I've gone from writing scripts and all that to acting to comedy. Some have been great and others have been not so great, but I know that all the experiences I've gathered have played a part in getting me to this point in my life. This month actually makes it 7 months since I started this podcast. How did I go into podcasting? It was actually coronavirus that pushed me into podcasting, because I was initially planning on going to school, a professional school, but then coronavirus struck and the lockdown and everything, so I couldn't actually travel. And I was so bored. I was like, what am I going to be doing between now and when coronavirus ends, which nobody knows when it was going to be. So I said to myself, what of this podcast I've been trying to start since? How about maybe I start it now? But I didn't know where to start from. So I went online to browse some things. I saw some things that helped me. And then I also talked to one of our speakers today, Mac Ann. She's also a podcaster. And she gave me a few tips. And I was like, okay, no, let me start. Then there was the problem of the name. What to name this podcast? I racked my brain for weeks. I couldn't just think of anything. So I said, you know what? Let me just give it any name, because if I don't start now, I don't know when I'm going to start. So I just named, I was bored and I'm a creative, so I named it The Bored Creative Show. But thankfully, I found a better name for it as time went on. So, what has been a few of my challenges? I think the first one is getting episodes out. It's quite tough every week to keep pushing out episodes. Sometimes some guests disappoint you. You have to improvise. Other times, and this has been my toughest episode so far, actually, because bringing together 9 people to share their stories is not easy at all. So the first time I ever recorded a podcast, my first episode, I was a nervous wreck. Like, I did like 7 recordings and I wasn't just feeling any of them. So I talked to my sister, and thankfully she was like, how about you feature somebody? Maybe to help you loosen up a bit more. So I said, okay. So I called on one of my longtime friends, Charlene. Thank God she agreed to feature on the podcast. So we did a recording and I was so nervous, but she helped calm me down. She helped me to relax, and we finished. And after that, my stomach was in knots throughout. Like, any notification I get from the podcast, I'm like, hey, someone wants to tell me I suck too. Someone wants to tell me I should never even do a podcast again. Someone wants to tell me that they hate my voice. Someone wants to tell me that I'm not good at this. Like, I was just imagining the worst. But surprisingly, I started getting positive reviews. People are telling me that they loved it, I should do another one, they're looking forward to the next one. I'm like, whoa, okay, I actually can do this. I can even see myself doing this in the long run. So that was actually how I got into this podcasting thing. And one of the principles I would say has never failed me, despite all this that I have been through, is never give up, no matter what life throws your way. 10 years from now, because 10 years will come whether you give up or you continue, but 10 years from now, you either wake up and be grateful you didn't give up, or you wake up and regret giving up. So keep pushing no matter what. That's what I'm going to advise anybody out there that wants to go into any career whatsoever.
I would like to appreciate the convener of the Truth Courier, Kamsi. I really commend the wonderful job you are doing. So I have been a listener of Truth Korea, following the updates each week that comes up, and I have so much enjoyed it, have learned so much, it has blessed my life. I would really say Truth Korea is truly amazing. And for every listener, I will indulge you to always get a piece of it each week.
Always listen to our podcast too. Please listen to our podcast, man. It's coming true. Kamsi, shout out to you, the convener of this podcast. More to come. Bless you.
That's it for today's episode. Like, please guys, share the link of this episode with your friends, your family on social media. Don't keep these great lessons and things you've learned here today to yourself. It's not going to be fair to anybody. Also, if there's a topic you've been wanting me to talk about or address on this podcast, you can reach out to me on social media via the Truth Korea podcast on IG, the Truth Korea, my Facebook page, and you can send an email to info.thetruthkorea@gmail.com or send it to my WhatsApp, and your topic might just be featured in season 3. Till next time you guys hear from me, which will be in 2 or 3 weeks time, take care of yourself, and I love you all so much.